Community Connection program this morning. I get the opportunity to spend a little bit of time with District Attorney Kevin Buchanan, and of course, district covers Washington and Nelwata counties, and we are talking specifically about a special observance week. I get them all over, but I rarely get to talk to you about something having to do with a special observance, and I know there's two items along that common theme this week. You're talking about an exhibit at the Price Tower, and also how your office gets involved with rape cases.
Morning, Charlie.
Good morning, sir.
Good to be here. Yes, this is National Crime Victims Week. This happens in April every year. The theme this year is expand the circle, reach all victims. The idea behind that is to try and reach all the victims. There are so many victims out there of crime that we don't know about. People don't report crime for a number of reasons. We try to minimize those reasons so more people will come forward.
Yeah, and it's important that people do come forward and tell what they know, and whether it's a school culture or just neighborhoods, telling what you know to promote public safety is not necessarily snitching, it's doing the right thing.
Couldn't agree more. That's probably the easiest way that people can get involved in supporting victims of crime, is to simply be willing to talk about what you saw, report crimes that you see. Don't turn that blind eye, because somebody's suffering if you do.
Whether you report what you know to the police authorities, whether you use the anonymous reporting that Crime Stoppers offers, or whether you come forward to the DA's office and say, I know something, I'm willing to testify when the case comes to court, there are other ways. Those are the ones that I think about.
Sure, I agree. So the purpose of Crime Victims Week each year is a number of reasons, but one is to try and shine light on the plight of crime victims. So many of us can't relate to a person who's been the victim, particularly of a violent crime, because if you haven't been there, if you haven't experienced that, it's hard to understand it. And so sometimes it's hard to understand the reaction and the trauma of victims that they have experienced. So we try to bring to light, we want to bring to light this week in particular, to everybody, the needs and the recovery of victims that they go through, particularly of violent crimes. So we need to understand how to talk with them, not shy away from them because we don't know what to say or don't know what to do. Come alongside, be supportive of them. And so this week, and I will apologize, I'm not sure how long the exhibit at Price Tower is going to be here.
Okay.
But it opened Friday, and it is entitled What She Was Wearing. And it is an amazing exhibit. It's 15 or more different sets of clothing, along with a brief description of a story of a rape victim. It's representative or depicts the clothing that they were wearing at the time they were attacked. And as the people who started this found out, that turned out to be one of the most oft-asked questions of victims very early and on through their recovery process, is, well, what were you wearing? Somehow, the answer to that question being, what did you do to cause this? How did you invite this attack upon yourself? So in my world, we call that victim shaming.
Sure.
It's a reason why we see sex crimes so underreported. Not the only reason, but it's certainly a significant reason.
And looking at what you're talking about, I'll say from, because I get calls occasionally from family members of a defendant when I report what happened in court. And basically, you know, it's kind of like, well, is this an accurate statement of what happened in court? Yes, but you know, but you don't understand my boy. Well, or girl, it doesn't matter. But it's family members defending their family, but the facts are not necessarily different.
Right.
By the way, the exhibit, What Were You Wearing, runs through the 29th.
All right, 29th of this month. So what we are doing, the district attorney's office, and then there's another group very interested in victims' rights. It's the Marcy's Law Group. In November, on the November ballot, you will see a Marcy's Law constitutional amendment question.
Mm-hmm.
They are desiring to raise the victims' rights. That we have one in the statutes now, but they want to elevate that to a constitutional level, that those rights are at the level of the constitutionally protected rights.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not drastically changing what we have now, but if defendants have an entire book full of rights to be observed by the state of Oklahoma and all of us,
mm-hmm.
Victims have a right to have their protection through the Constitution as well.
Sure. Those defendants' rights were set up, you know, in the 1700s because the founders would rather let an innocent or a guilty person go free than convict an innocent person. But like you said, the victim of whatever we're talking about, that crime, that robbery, that rape, that whatever it might be, certainly have equal or higher rights.
So Marcy's Law folks, my office, tomorrow afternoon, well, tomorrow 11:30 to 1:30 at the Price Tower. We are trying to shine light on this exhibit that's at the Price Tower. We'll have snacks, we'll have drinks, we'll have some information for people, but we're trying to get people during their lunch hour. If your lunch hour's most of the day, then come by then. You'll see myself, some of my staff. We'd be glad to direct you to the tour. You can also spend some time looking at the art exhibit. That's, you know, they're both in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
The What You Were Wearing program or exhibit will be on the second floor of the Price Tower. A little better place to kind of contemplate what you're looking at. There's nothing graphic.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that's inappropriate, you know, would be difficult to look at, but when you think about the stories and you understand, you know, if in your mind's eye the women who are subjected to rape are wearing, you know, bikinis and see-through tops, not so.
Mm-hmm.
Not so at all. So it's just a very moving exhibit. It's worth coming and contemplating for a moment. Gives everybody a little bit of time to think about the plight of these people who've been subjected to sexual abuse, sexual crimes. And we just want to raise awareness and maybe get people's minds adjusted to thinking a little differently about the sexual abuse crimes.
You're right. There are certain crimes that we don't know what to say, don't know how to talk about them. Suicide, similar circumstances when you confront a family member of someone who was involved in suicide. Words fail us. We're not sure how to say it. We're not sure how to talk about it. Certainly, it's from a news standpoint, another act that is not reported well because you don't want to offend the family members and that sort of thing. So
right.
There are all sorts of things that we don't talk about well.
Right. I agree. It's they're uncomfortable, and if we don't know enough about them, we don't really know what to say. But it's easy to learn.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do first, I think, is recognize what you just said, what we don't know how to do well, and it doesn't take that much to learn how to do it well. And you can be a big help to a child, a teenager, an adult who may have experienced any number of bad experiences, learn how to do that.
Talk to me about Marcy's Law. It sounds like I know just enough to ask questions about it, certainly not enough to act as a voice to help amplify what you're saying. What's the genesis of the law, and how did it come about?
The way this came about, Marcy, and that is a abbreviated form of a name. I believe it's Maris Lee, or I'm not going to get it just right.
Okay.
A young woman in California. She was killed by her former boyfriend, who she had tried to distance herself from. Her parents, as I understand the story, left the funeral. And when they stopped by the store, the mother went in to get some provisions from the grocery store. And as she was walking in, came face to face with her daughter's killer. did not know that he had been released from jail, did not know much of anything about the system that was going to try and find justice for her daughter. So those parents of Marcy began a campaign of trying to expand victims' rights and then trying to find ways to enforce those rights. And the Marcy's Law campaign was born out of that. They have incredible resources, which they're using all over the country. A number of states, I can't give you the exact one, but a number of states have already adopted forms of Marcy's Law and raised victims' rights to a constitutional level.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, in Oklahoma, we have a statute now that is a Victims' Bill of Rights, is what it's called. A number of things, but particularly or most notably is that they have a right to notice of when hearings are going to be had. They have a right to be informed of plea bargains that my office may be conducting, of where they can go to seek restitution if there are medical bills or property issues. A number of rights that we advise victims of now on a routine basis every time we file a charge. There are a few new ones. It's the right to speak with the district attorney. I mean, I feel like, and I think most of the DAs across the state feel like they have a right to do that now.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, while that may be your practice, it's not codified into law per se.
Correct. And so it's our practice to do the best we can. Now, the victim of a bicycle theft is different from the victim of a rape case or a homicide in the family.
Mm-hmm.
We don't mean to treat those differently, but certainly when time requires the prioritizing of resources comes into play. So that's the genesis of it. They have moved. I don't know how many states this year will take it up, but there are a number of states that are already there. I'm the president of the District Attorney's Council this year. We worked with the Marcy's Law Group prior to last legislative session when they presented this to get it on the ballot. We tweaked some things. We're very happy with the way the proposition reads. We're all in support of it. So we hope that the citizens of Oklahoma, when they go to the polls in November, will also support it.
So this will be a ballot initiative. We have a number of them. I'm not sure how many will be on the November ballot, but there will be several.
Right.
So this is something we will ask the voters to do their homework on. And, of course, right now the first step they could do in that process is visit this exhibit at the Price Tower.
Absolutely. It originated at KU.
Okay.
At least the people that originated the exhibit are there. They interviewed college students for quite some time and got a number of stories, and this theme came out that they kept being asked, what were you wearing? So they centered their idea around that question and received the stories, and I believe most of the victims came from Arkansas,
mm-hmm.
The stories of the victims anyway. And then the first exhibit in the U.S., I believe, came from or started in 2014. So it's been very impressive everywhere it's been shown. People have been moved, and I think it's opened some awareness and some eyes.
Okay. Yeah. The exhibit continues at the Price Tower through the 29th, but you are invited tomorrow to go down over the noon hour and talk with Kevin Buchanan and the rest of the DA staff.
Snacks and drinks and learn.
Okay. Today is National Be Kind to Lawyers Day, but we'll extend it tomorrow and invite you to the Price Tower over the noon hour. Kevin, thank you very much for coming.
Thank you, Charlie.
Kevin Buchanan, District Attorney, in with us this morning on AM 1400 K1 News. On the way next from CBS. Rain showers bring spring floods. Get flood insurance at Phoenix Insurance, 918-336-5460. This is KW.